Station number 1160, Rule 2.
Your rifle training. How did this start?
You know, you got target practice, you see. That's on the walls at Bury.
How did you do that?
Well, you got your 2-2 rifle, you know, and your targets was in the big. If you'd known Bury, it'd been different. It was just over the walls in the barracks there, and it's just a sort of tunnel like that up against the wall again. Well, that's where your targets were. Safe as the bank, you know. You couldn't have start, you know, like going into that wall then, you see, shooting into the wall, but your targets there. And that's your 2-2. You had to pass out and that. And then the rifle that's...
Is that where they taught you to aim?
Aim, yes. Take an aim, you see. And then the rifles, that's the service rifles. That was another thing, but they had targets then on the sea, on the coast, you see. But when they were firing them, they had targets on the sea, can red flags up, you see, keep any boats away from that area for bullets, you know what I mean? When they fired out into the sea with that, that's your big rifles.
Which right, did you get the short Lee Enfield or the long Lee?
Well, the short Lee Enfield.
So you got the proper rifle?
Yeah, the proper rifle.
Oh, straight away?
Yes, you had to look after your rifle and clean it and everything like that.
Do you remember how you did that? Yeah, if you
clean it? Oh, no trouble at all. Take the bolt out, you had a lead, and put it in the top, you see. Put your tape and the tape in your razor, and you pull your tape through. That clean it out, and you put a wee drop of oil on your pad after that. Oh, yeah. All the lines you get cleaned up. Then they're examined with the officers, you see. They used to turn around and let him look into it with the bolt out, you see, so you can write like down. Sometimes you had to put your thumb on the corner, you see, so it made a reflection there for the rest of your barrel. So that's just then you say, right, and you put your rifle down again, you see. You stand this for the inspection, and when they came for it, you turn your rifle like this for them to look down, you see, and after it's finished, you jump to the other gear, you to get your bolt in. Oh, dear, dear, dear.
And did you find the rifle easy to master? Were you a good shot?
Oh, yes. Oh, I could like to see a photograph of my uniform around of the cross guns, marksman, you see.
So you passed out. It's all right, because they won't be able to hear it on the tape. You
oh,
know.
That's all right.
So you passed out as a marksman?
Oh, yes. But not at that time, later on.
So at that time, you didn't actually fire. You were practicing your shooting, but you didn't take your test.
That's right, the road test then. If you passed, that was all.
Were the instructors helpful in training?
Oh, yes. They helped you to... To get laying down like that.
What tips did they give you?
Say you're firing a target. You see, they said now, don't fire in the centre target. Just down a wee bit. You see, to the near the bottom, because when you fire, your rifle's intention to go up a wee bit. You see, you know, when you pull the trigger. So I'll go on fine with them.
And. You had no trouble with your aiming then?
Obviously. Oh, no trouble at all. A grand eyesight. In fact, I've good eyesight yet.
What about the kick? Did that put you
No.
And you didn't do anything else training while you were at Berwick?
No, except for the squad drill. You know, the squad drill. 4-1-4s and so on like that. Which is just the same as I was getting before.
What about the... You went with this sort of run with... Did you go any other route marches?
Yes.
What would a typical route march be like?
The big route march is what we used to, you had the band, you know.
From Berwick?
No, there was no band. They had nothing, but when we went to Portland...
I'll come back to that then, I'll wait till we get there. While you were at Berwick, how did you get on with the other ranks, privates.
Oh, I got on the ground with everybody, no trouble at all.
Were they all from similar backgrounds?
That's right, yes. Some of them worked on farms like myself. Oh, yes, just young lads, you know, just youngsters that I'd known, some of them.
Did, You'd known some of them before?
Oh, yes, yes.
Did you have any particular pal while you were there at Berwick?
Well, there was a fellow who came from Chernside. They called him Duff, Jock Duff. I think he's dead now. Jock Duff. He was in France along with me. He'd get Polly all the time. Jock. He used to like a pint. Two pints better than one. I used to try and get him off of you. Of course, I was teetotal all the time. I never drank any. Never drank a beer in my life.
How did you take, you know, you were all these young lads together, and you come, you were from a religious background, you presumably didn't smoke, didn't drink.
I smoked a wee bit.
You smoked a bit.
Yes, sir.
But did you find that the lack of privacy and the sort of roughness of army life got to you?
No. Oh, I took it all in a stride.
So the ones who swore and perhaps drank a bit didn't bother you?
No. That was their pigeon. It's up to them, you see. If they wanted to drink, they'd say, well, if you want to drink, Jock, go and get one, son, but I'm not going in. So if you want to...
And they didn't mind, in turn, they didn't mind that you didn't?
No, that's right. Some used to say, I'd want to drink, what do you any harm? I said, I'm not saying it'll do him any harm. I said, what do you mean, any good? I said, I didn't want to. I said, if I wanted to drink, I said, go and get one, but I said, I didn't want it. I said, that's how it's about it.
And the swearing, was there much swearing?
Oh, some of them, feel well off some of them. I used to tell some of them off me. I'll say, some of you folk, you can't say a thing except you have swear words in it. I say, you think you're big, but I say, you're not making yourself big at all. I says, it makes you that, I say, it's like a crumb, just nothing.
And with them all swearing, that didn't cause you to
stop?
No. You kept your own standards up?
Oh, yeah. That was their pigeon.
And what did you think of the officers that you had there?
Some of them was very, very nice fellas. Very, very nice.
What made a good officer then?
Oh, well, if he looked after the men, he was a good officer.
And that's what these nice ones
were? That's right, yes.
Remember any of their names?
Oh, no. Goodness.
It's a long time ago.
A long time ago.
Were there any bad ones?
Well, no, I couldn't say there were any bad ones. There was more nonsense or something. I can remember one time this man came from Newcastle. This was out in France, mine. Down in Le Havre. Can I start?
Yes, tell that story when you start.
Le Havre base, you see. So, of course, I knew him, you see, beforehand. So he came up and I was looking at Lance Corporal there, you see, and I had a party. They were bombing Le Havre at the time up in the base camp. This was after I went back the second time. So anyway, he said, it's terrible. It's terrible here. He says, Corporal, terrible. I said, yes. I says, do you know? I says, what I was thinking? He says, what? I says, it'd be better if you'd been bugging Berwick here. He says, you're right there. He says, you're right there. He used to be a clerk with some of the seed merchants from Newcastle. Used to come to Berwick on the Saturdays for their market day, you see. Another nice fella. Oh, him and I go on well. In fact, I go on with all the officers. Right, nice fellas.
So, what about, did they start things like kit inspections while you were
Yes, there? Oh yes.
At Berwick they'd have
Berwick,
them?
Yes.
How were they organised?
Well, when you had your kit, you had your bed, you see. You put all your stuff under there's the bed, folded up nicely, and your shirts and your so-and-sos and so-and-sos and so-and-sos, all laid out there in your stuff. You'd come around and... That was your inspection. It was 5 minutes here through the whole show. That was your early stage, you know, your early kit bag. Oh, dear. Terrible.
Would and people steal things from you at all?
No. Not mine, but I've seen stealing. I remember one time when I came back to France again.
Okay, I'll come back to that then. I'll make a note and come back to that then, yeah. But at that stage, in Berwick, you didn't have any trouble with that?
No. No trouble at all.
You were still in your blues throughout...
Still in the blues.
Now, you moved after about how long, do you think? The whole battalion moved.
Oh, no, not the whole battalion, the recruits. See, they moved into to Portland.
So the recruits of the 3rd battalion. Right. And about how many was that, would you say?
Oh, I think that time when we went down, I think there must have been about 30 recruits went down the train from Berwick to Portland, to Weymouth Station.
And that's where the 3rd Battalion,
Portland, right. That's when the Portland was there. That was the 3rd Battalion in Portland. That's the feeding of the different battalions. Some went to the 1st Battalion and some went to the 3rd and the 2nd Battalion, see, from Portland.
So the 3rd Battalion was based at Portland, and you'd been sent from Berwick to join them. That's right, is it?
That's right, from Berwick to join them. Can I mind, I was put in charge of 10 men in my section, and somebody else was putting 10 men in another section, see, to hand them over. It's kind of one big lot, you see. He was put in charge of just 10 men. And I didn't care in the mirror of that cushion. Anyway, I got them to bed, to Portlandville, and handed them over, and that was me finished to them, which I was pleased to do, mate.
You were still just a private at that
time? Oh, yes, just a private.
Now, Portlandville's near Weymouth, isn't it?
No, it's Weymouth, Chris.
And it's a barracks?
Portlandville Barracks, Portland. A very steep hill up to it. Torture.
That's steep.
Oh, Steve, I've seen when you were out after you got your uniform. Of course, then you got uniform. Then you see at Portland
when you. That's when you were issued with the uniform.
You got your uniform. Then you got route marches. Then pipe band.
What were the barracks like as compared to Berwick? Were they pretty much the same?
Oh, some of the same. Some of the same kind of barracks, but more. I'd say bigger, more building. You know, big buildings here, big buildings. Well, barracks are nice barracks too, but Portland is a big, strong barracks. Portland and Bill, you know.
But the beds were about the same.
Oh, yes.
And everything.
Then there's a draw.
And the food was pretty
good. Yes,
long.
And then there's a drawbridge on it, you see. Nobody could get into the barracks. There's a drawbridge and a culvert, you know. Drawbridge.
Now, you were saying that you had route marches.
Oh, yes.
Can you describe a typical route march from Portlandville Barracks?
Well, Portlandville, you went down the brae. There's the only way out, is that down the brae, down the hill. It's all right going down, as I say, it's same as here. If you're going down the brae, it's all right. But it's coming up. Well, you went right across the Weymouth, you see. We were route marches to Weymouth. Pipe band and on the shore. What they called that beach, Channel Beach. That was the name of the road, Channel Beach. The rail were in along there at one time, but it's all done away with now. So the Weymouth. The football park there at Weymouth. And that was then you went along Weymouth into the country a wee bit, back again for your route march.
And about how far would you go?
Oh, maybe 4 or 5 miles.
So you wouldn't need a rest?
Oh, no. Oh, just.
Did you go on longer ones ever?
Oh, no. Not. Of course, the colonel, they had a horse, you see. I'll come to that later on about the horses.
And what about the people? What, you know, the local Weymouth people? Did they give you a cheer?
Weymouth? Well, we were never much near Weymouth. Well, a wee bit, you know, but you're more in Portland, you see, when you go down there into the village at night time.
No, I mean when you went on a route.
Oh, yes. Oh, they used to stand and give you a cheer. Oh, yes. Waving their flags and so on.
And what other training? Would you do some more rifle training there?
Very little. Of course, I was nearly passed out, you know, in the rifle training. Something was helping some of the sergeants. If I was out with them, like, giving them a hand, you know. I was younger than any of them, but I was giving them a hand.
And is that why you passed out at Weymouth?
Yes.
Where you fired your course?
Portland.
Portland.
That was the finish there. You qualified then. Full-blown soldier.
The rifle, I mean, what did you have to do to get your marksman? Do you remember what score you had to get?
Oh, I just forget. No, it's a long time ago.
Did many people get that sort of?
Well, I know one now and again.
What about bayonet fighting? Did you do any bayonet training?
Yes.
What did you do for bayonet training?
Well, the bayonet training, you had your overhead, just like the window there, you see, and your bags just hanging down. You know, bags, so you might be about 4 on that thing there, you see. And you had to run forward and stab it, you see, and pull your leg back, you see, and reverse your you burst your rifle and bayonet to get it out. You see, without making another fumble, you do it all in the one. Okay, so you and back again. You see, none of this, and you'd have to stick and go, you know, you'd be getting a shout from the sergeant. Then you'd do it the wrong way. You'd quick, and if you watch what you're doing with your leg, you see, one and through it, and then your leg and get a quick jerk back. You're all right. But oh, yeah, they got into it.
Did you have to, when you were doing that, were you meant to be shouting and charging? You know,
yes, 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 yes. You had to shout.
You had to?
You had to shout, yes. You had to give a shout. Which I don't know if it did any good, but that was your orders.
What about the actual moves of bayonet fighting, you know?
Defensive, yes.
Did you practice that at all?
You practice down and down the way, up and down, you know, across the ways, with four different directions.
What about you wouldn't have hand grenades then, would
no,
you?
No, so, no.
And gas, of course, hadn't happened. You were there when that happened.
That's right.
What about the trenches? Did you have any introduction to what trenches were like, or trench digging, or anything like that?
Well, we had nothing like that at Portland at all. Nothing. No trenches at all.
What about tactical exercises? You know, attacking or things.
Oh
like
yes,
that.
Yes.
Did
yes.
you do any? Could you describe what you did with that?
Oh, just running, you see, and taking cover or something like that, and getting down. You can down on the ground, like just practicing an attack or something like that, and getting down. Yes, just sort of dummy runs, you know.
How realistic was it?
Oh well, some it was gay. Yeah, gay near the thing.
So yeah. You thought that it was quite good, that?
Oh yes, good training. Oh yes.
And that was that. Did you do any other exercises? Any night exercises, things like that?
Night duty, yes. Oh yes. And then you had.
You did do night exercises.
Oh yes, yes. Night, what you call night duty.
What was that?
Well, parading at night, you see, and taking different positions in your barracks, you know. You know. You might have a section maybe with 14 men, you see, you'd go to that one. I might have a section, I'd go to this one, you see, you're sort of all hidden in a way. Different directions. Instead of going in one party, you see, you split up.
So just practicing moving about at
that's
night?
That's right. Then sometimes you've got a cup of tea when you came in for night work. A cup of tea at the canteen at the cookhouse.
What about any special training? Were you trained in machine guns or signalling?
No. I could do the signals, you know, the alphabet. But I wasn't trained for to do it in there. Before I went there, I used to get signalling.
Where at? The Boys Brigade?
No, at the Boys Brigade. Just the flagging, you know. A, B, C, D, you know. M and oh dear me.
But you didn't go into the signal section.
No.
You didn't see the machine guns.
No,
or
no.
The transport at that time. No, I know no, you went to transport no, later.
No.
And so, what would a typical day be like at Portland Bill? What time? Would you, I mean, just sketch it out if you could.
From the morning.
What time would you get up?
Well, the revolver went in, maybe say it was 7 or 8 o'clock.
That late?
And then you got dressed up, you see. And some had the early parade. And then you came back again for your breakfast, you see. And then you had an inspection after that, you see. Get shaved and, you know, cleaned up. And then the officer would go around and look at your face and up and down, see if you're all right. And then just duty after that, drill again, always drill. And then,
but you enjoyed it still.
Oh yes. And then after you got your uniform, you see, it had to be all spick and span, boots shining and everything like that. But it's properly put on with your trousers the right way, right over your putties, and your buttons clean, your belts clean, and your hat and going giddy, everything spotless. And then they'd come around and look you up and down, you know. You go to the guard room this morning. You'll be on guard room duty. That's the sergeant major and the colonel's line. That's his message boy. So you're supposed to be the best, smartest dressed recruit on parade. You see,
no, oh, didn't they call the stick?
That's right, the stick. I think I had the stick twice or thrice when I was there.
How did you prepare for something like that? Because what special work would you have to do to make your boots and your buttons get up to the standard to be the stick when? Do you remember? Were there any special tricks?
Well, I had a wee bit of bone, you know, the under and bone. And I used to rub my boots with the bone, you see. And you get a high, high shine, you know, with the bone under blackening, you see. It's the button raised to good. I was using, you know, with the horses, all the different harness brasses. And the, so that was when, you know, cab badge and everything like that. Everything was just, I'd say, well, everything looked perfect, you know. I was very fussy with my uniform. Fact, the wife used to tell me, oh, you're all fussfoot. She said, you're no right or something. If my shirt was no right, I used to play Hole of War. So that was the way I used to get the stick. And, you know.
And we were just running through a typical day. So you'd have the drill, and perhaps you'd be picked for the stick, you know. And then you'd have dinner, I presume.
Yes.
And what would you do in the afternoon? Just more training?
Oh, it's the same again. Same again.
And then tea.
3 o'clock you finished, mostly.
And then you get your tea.
To get tea.
Yeah, and then was the rest of the day
your own? The rest of the days your own.
What recreations would you
have? Well, with me it was the gym.
That was still your thing, was it?
Oh, that was my masterpiece. Sometimes the boys said, come on, man, come on, down to Portland for a walk. I said, oh, all right, well, I'll come with you. So I'll see me go down to Portland for a walk.
Now you were in the army, I mean, obviously the boxing, you didn't have to hide the gloves now. Was boxing encouraged in the army? And did you do something?
Oh, yes, you could. Yes, you could. You could do a bit in the army if you wished to. Oh, yes.
And did you take it up more than that?
More as a sport then, though. You just can sort of tip on one another, you know.
So not trying to hurt?
Oh, no.
Just getting the coordination?
You dare me.
That was your main method of recreation?
That's right. There was one fellow one night though in the barracks at Portland, jogged off and I, we pulled the beds together, our board together, you see, and so they gave us another extra 2 blankets on the top, you see. So this fellow came round, I forget his name now, it's a long time ago. Somebody pinched his blanket, you know, stole his blanket. So he came round and we had our beds made that time, you know, ready for together, and he came round there. You know. I said, hey, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for my blanket. I said, no. I said, did you find it there? He says, no. I said, put these blankets back as you got them, please. He said, I'll come back. I said, you better. So jogged off, says to him, by his mate. He says, you better come back and put the bed right. He says, I wouldn't like to be you. So he came back and I said, hey. I says, put them right, same as you got them. He says, oh, I says, I'll give you another chance. I says, you're going to put them right. I says, just fell and jogged off the chair and said, fella's telling you about it. He says, mate, he says, take my tempest and put them right. I says, mate, he says, you'll be carried to your bed. So I says, you put them right, mate. Oh, by Jove, no, I wouldn't have anybody doing that to me. Oh, no.
Was there any bullying? I mean, nobody's going to bully you from the sound of it.
No.
Was there bullying amongst perhaps the ones who weren't so strong?
Some of them was bullied. I used to feel sorry for them, I'll be honest. Sorry.
Who would do the bullying?
Some of the sergeants, if they've seen somebody sort of easy to go on with, some of them used to pick on somebody, you know, to show their authority. And they used to, fellas, I've seen them just a bit crying. I said, cheer up, man, cheer up, you'll be all right. He says, oh, that's so-and-so. Is he on to me or something like that? He says, he wouldn't talk to you like that. I says, bad job. And I says, he wouldn't have talked to me like that. I said, we'll put in the guardroom first. I says, no. I said, then it was soft. I says, cheek up to him, man. I says, go on. I says, we'll back you up. Someone needs to like this, so their authority, so...
But that wasn't the rule.
No,
most of them were like that.
Some of them was right. what we call in Scotland cocky, you know, cheeky. Showing their authority, and corporals and always, corporals especially, used to show their authority.
Would these be old corporals or new recruits?
No, just made up.
Made up?
Made up. Got maybe early joining in the war, you see, and got some of them who were noticed fit for the line, and you get stuff what you call starved jobs, you know.
And they were the worst.
Oh, remember this fully. The you know, these big coal bunker boxes thing that would half a ton weight theirself, you see. This is in Portland, you know, the big boxes of coal. So then this hut that he was, this fellow was in charge, you see. He says, give me a shift to this coalsman. I said, oh, aye. So I went forward. Oh, by Jove, Coppola says, never could shift that. I said, there's 200 weight of coals in there, plus the weight of the iron, you know, the boxes. So just at that, they called the old quartermaster, old Timber Toes for the nickname. You know, Timber Toes. He's a right old sod anyway. So he says to me, he says, what's wrong? Oh, I said, the corporal's wanting 100 of this box here, sir. I said, it's very difficult to move for. I said, it's four, what it calls in. I said, it's 300 or 400 weight. And do you know what he said? He says, corporal, said, if he refuses to stay with it, he says, put him in the guard room. He says, me? Put him in the guard room. I said, I'm not refusing to do it, but I said, can you do it? I says, to the corporal, I says, can you do it? He says, no. Well, I says, who are you going to put me in the guard room for then? Well, I says, if you refuse, well, I says, I'm refusing then. For I said, can you do it? I said, get the colonel if you like. I says, see what he says. So I finished up with telling him. I says, by Jove, I says, I'll tell you straight, colonel. I says, there's nobody here to hear me saying it. And I says, there's nobody in Belkew up either. I said, if you had put me in the guard room, I said, I'd like to have your name. I says, when you came out, mine. But I says, mine. I says, I turned him in the guard room for you, be the hospital for you. She says, who are you? I says, hey, wait, man. I said, I could eat you in 5 minutes. I said, get yourself away from my sight. If there's nobody there, you see, to back him up, you see, I could tell him off. So that was him finished. And he was quieter to me after that, man. Big, I think I see these cold, big bunkers yet standing there. He says, push. Oh, dear me. When I look back, some nights are not bad. I thought, that's a bad joke.
Are there any other stories you remember of life in the barracks? You know, just things like that.
Well, yes. There's much. There's nothing to do with me. This fellow was always getting, this sergeant was always getting into this, onto this lad, you see. Hey, come on, Swift. Come on, get a move on, you see.
That was his name, was it?
Swift. No, that was his nickname. Swift, they called him Swift for a nickname, you see. I forget his name, but they'll call him. Go on, Swift, get him, move on. So him and I was going to Polly, he says to me, I said, you know, he says, that sergeant, you see, they're sticking the nippy out to me, you know. I says, oh, aye. He says, I'll do him some of the times, and I says, suppose I get put in the guard room. So he says, the sergeant says to him, there's the hours there, he says, what you want, he says, taking up the top of the barracks there, he says, and getting me a bit, you know, a bit shake up. So the fellow just up and said, well, I said, that's all right, son. He says, it'd be nice to go up there, you see. See, they were thinking, I said, there's something in you. I said, I like your blooming style, you know, the way you say, to shape about. So the son, I think I see them yet. I think he only hit the sergeant twice or thrice. The sergeant was no longer stopping. He didn't expect this fellow to be a bloke. It turned out he was a booming boxer at the trade. You know, this young lad, you know.
Swift was a boxer.
Boxer. The sergeant didn't know this till after he got started. Boy, he didn't have minutes he had him gasping. Oh, right, left, and centre. Oh, him and I was right, Polly, after that. That's fellow like boxing. Oh, he used to show me a lot of tricks there. I used to show him or someone, you know, 50-50.